can see this is an historical moment. I've been taped here. So everything I say, I hope will not come to haunt me later. But basically, one thing that I got actually the questions from Stella only, I think, last week. And I prepared this already before the deadline on the 13th, I think 13th of April. So something is here, disjointed situation. And I think the problem is that this reflects very much what is happening in the in Southern Europe. A disjointed situation. We have a kind of a state that actually are the instruments that are still very weak in terms to implement policies. And my part, although I will just respond to the questions, and please stop me when I begin to talk a lot and so on, because some Europeans like to talk. And basically what I do is respond to the questions, but within the framework that I prepared. And basically, I have five arguments about Southern Europe, a kind of provocative arguments, taking more the Portuguese case, but the Spanish case as well, and comparative issues related to Greece and Italy. One thing, the first argument is, it's a heavy and weak state, so therefore the state is so heavy and weak that it's not able really to be flexible enough to respond to certain challenges, implementation of public policies and so on. So this is something that you see heavy. I will explain what I mean by heavy and weak. Weak means more the performance. Weak state versus weak economy. If you look at the Greek economy and the Portuguese economy, particularly the Portuguese economy is small and medium-sized enterprises. And when there is a crisis, boom, everything breaks down. I mean, there is not very much investment in there, so industrial policy would be an area where people had to invest more there. One of the reasons is that these are subsistence kind of firms. There are some large firms, but the vast majority are small and medium-sized enterprises, and this is a major problem. Even for the structural funds, you have sometimes to subsidize firms to take part in the structural funds, this is a private part that you need for the structural funds and so on. So this is one issue that's very relevant. Weak state versus weak civil society. That's another issue that's very important. You want always to include civil society, consultation processes and so on, and it's too weak. Basically, sometimes the European Commission says, for example, about Portugal, this is a great country because it's so easy to deal with Portugal. There are no consultation processes. Parliament is weak, and the governor can do the decision. The decision making is very fast and very simple. This is an interview that I have done about structural funds in Brussels. It was an Italian that responded to that, and he must know it. So then there is another issue, coexistence of all the new patterns of culture. Yes, there is transformation. Yes, there is change. But there is a coexistence of old habits and new habits. It's changing slowly, and basically you see really new elites emerging, administrative elites, that want to change everything. But basically, then the problem is that there are also some obstacles in there. And then another thing is time as a factor of transformation of mentalities. This is something that is still ongoing. Let's go to the first aspect here, heavy and weak state. Just Portugal and Greece, more centralized states of the European Union. For public policy today, a modern public policy, even you see unitary states like Sweden and unitary states like Finland and so on, devolving and allowing some multi-level governance emerging in their countries to adjust to the European Union. In Portugal and Greece, still very centralized. I mean, in Portugal, 5 from regions, in Greece, 13 of these regions, but they are extended arms of the government. So this is one issue that I would say is a major problem. And then public policy suffers, because basically decision-making has to go towards Lisbon or to the center in Athens and so on, and suffers in some way. Although I have to say, and one has in Lisbon, particularly in the last structural funds, this is the area where I work most, there was some flexibility. There is a change in terms of flexibility. They have to allocate, they have to be more flexible, give more power at the regional level and so on. But it's not very much, but there is some flexibility. Particularly at Swiss economic crisis, there was some flexibility, some funds were just reallocated and so on, very fast and so on. There is some change, but hopefully it will continue. The heavy, weak state is also one characteristic, particularly in the Portuguese case. They try to change it all the time, reform after reform after reform after reform, but in the end the result is always very, it's not very much, because the reform has no time then to just develop. Has to do also with party politics. One government comes to power, has a different kind of concept of reform and so on, and this creates some problems. Also, if you see OECD figures and also European Union figures, all financial resources, particularly in the Portuguese case, are concentrated in the central government. A very small amount is actually allocated to the local level, and they don't have enough resources then to implement these policies. That's also one issue that is very relevant. But you see, for example, heavy state, how the Portuguese civil service grew since 1979, 2005, these are official figures. Now they have over 747,000 civil servants. But these civil servants are central administration. 77% are central administration. So they are Lisbon. They concentrated also in some areas, but the majority in Lisbon. And then there is local administration, 18%, and then there is the autonomous regions of Azores and Madeira. So this is one issue. Another thing that you can see here is, for example, performance. So weak state. Performance, this is a study by Currie and Palmer, two Dutch guys, and you see here a ranking of the performance. They use really a multitude of indicators. And what it comes out is Finland, naturally Denmark, and so on, and Portugal, Greece, Italy, Spain a bit better, but basically Germany also is not doing well. But what is this bottom? Italy, Greece, Portugal, with Poland. So kind of performance in terms of indicators, it seems that they are lagging behind. Weak state versus weak economy, I think this is also one issue. If you want to have a functioning public policy, the problem is industrial policy. If the industrial policy doesn't work, this is a major problem. Low level of investment in research and development, lowest among EU countries, although it's changing, because I think Socrates said, José Socrates, Prime Minister, said that the public sector is now investing more in research and development than the public sector. This was not always the case. So it changed, it's not very much. Maybe the figures were a bit organized in this way, but official figures say that the private sector is investing more, and research and development, I think, is one of these areas where some Europeans have to invest, because they are still far behind, and so Zapatero has done really a great job to push really the research and development figures in the after 2004, but then with the crisis, yeah. I mean, there is now a big discussion in Spain, will it continue or will it just stop the growth, and this is a major problem, because without this they will not transform the structure of the economy, they will not transform the structure of the country. Then there is this issue that majority are, as I said before, capital poor, small medium-sized enterprises, and if you look at figures from the European Commission on demography, business demography, then you see basically that Portugal is among the countries, one of the countries with the highest deaths in terms of enterprises in a year, more deaths than births. So they have a demographic problem in the industrial sector. But they have also a demographic problem, another one, but also in the business sector. And this is because they are so weak, and they break down when there is a crisis. So EU structural funds, as I said, the government tends to subsidize some of these with subsidize the private sector so that they take part in projects, and some officials speak about subsidy dependency, so that they are dependent on subsidies to take part and so on, and I think this is not the idea of partnership. That is, that there is a strong private sector that contributes to it. Cross-border cooperation, Portugal, Spain, for example, one example where I research, and you see the Spaniards, they are afraid of the Spaniards. I mean, Alentejo and Extremadura, where I research, and Algarve with Andalusia, and they say the Spaniards are too aggressive. The Spaniards have too much marketing. We don't know what to do. We feel like oppressed and so on, because the Portuguese way of thinking is a bit more kind of, let's see, shy in many ways and more reserved. It's not this kind of self-presentation and so on. The Spaniards have also more dynamics in there, and the market is also larger and so on. So that's one thing that's quite important. And then weak state, weak civil society. I see this is a big problem in Portugal, is that associations don't associations exist, but they are very, very weak, and they cannot check the government. They cannot, in a sense, change any policy making. You have trade unions that go to the streets to just change some policies and so on, but in general, other civil society actors are still too weak in this sense. And you, this naturally leads to a lack of scrutiny of government policies. There is also the issue of asymmetrical civil society along the north-south split. In many ways, so in the north, in Spain, for example, in the north, in Catalonia and in the Basque Country, they have a very rich civil society. Even there is some difficulties. There are studies by Morata and other authors that show this, that in the LEADER program, for example, civil society didn't emerge at all, or it's very weak. Nevertheless, there is a big difference between Catalonia, Basque Country, and Andalusia, for example, and or the southern parts, and so on. So this lack of civic engagement and social capital is still a problem. One question could be, is there still Banfield's amoral familism, individualism, just getting the best for oneself and then basically forget about the rest? And so on, and in this sense. So this is present figures about the civil society. I don't want to go very much into it. It's donations and so on, participation. And what you see is Portugal, Greece, Italy, Spain are very close together there, with some countries of Central and Eastern Europe. And then on the other hand, you have the Nordic countries. So civil society is also a major problem there. And then another thing that I think it's important is neo-patronalism. I mean, Dimitri and Walter Kickert are doing a special issue on state and public administration reform. I'm taking part with the Portuguese case. And one issue is the neo-patrimonial aspect, that you have all the forms of old habits, closed-minded habits in administration, public administration, that creates also problems for public policy implementation. And you have these modern, these new elites that want to do something and push and so on, but there are still many obstacles, bottlenecks to achieve this. So this is a quotation, I'll pass by this, and the quotation is from here, about what is neo-patrimonialism. I don't want the... This is already posted on the website, and so you can read this later. And then another thing that's very important is time factor. the time factor goes, I mean, I think one article that I liked very much was about Italy, the Metro Giorno, regions in southern Italy. It was an article by Jörg Baldner and Martin Bull in the European Journal of Public Policy, or Journal of European Public Policy, and 2004 special issue on Italy. And they wrote an article about how really the perception about the structural funds changed in southern Italy. And you see then, what you see is an emergence of administrative elites that are pro-European and want to fight against the state and the mafia and all these connections and so on. And so this time factor, I think, plays a major role to fight against these old habits of the mafia and the state connections and so on. And I would say for Portugal to finish actually with a more optimistic finish, with a more optimistic, kind of outlook, there is change, there is transformation. You see, really, the Portuguese basically time factor is transforming elites. Some of these structural funds are being actually used to train the people, in a sense, to become better policymakers and so on. So I think they have done a lot out of the structural funds. Only it's a pity that the first CSFs, for example, were, because this is the main policy. I mean, most of the there is lots of funding coming from the structural funds. Portugal is eligible 100% for the structural funds, and so it becomes an important area there. There you see basically that the structural funds have transformed really this policy elites, and you see also that the programs that they do are becoming better and better. So they learned something, they learned from this process and so on. Although the problem is at the beginning it was very much focused on infrastructures, and the last program finally and before last was more on human resources. And I think this is the area, the key area, Ireland, the case of Ireland, the key area where they have to. Challenges for the future. One problem, education policy, dropouts is the highest quota is Portugal. It's at the bottom in qualification structures and so on. Also Spain has major problems in the education sector still. So Greece, at least according to the figures, is a bit better than these two countries. I don't know if the quality is there, but in terms of figures, it looks better. And then another thing that in Portugal is a problem, social policy. I think there is no money for social policy. I mean, with the economic crisis and so on, that's the problem. It's cuts and so on. But it has one of the highest inequalities. If you look at the Gini coefficient, that's Portugal, 38. I think Turkey is just a bit more than that. But Portugal is 38. I mean, it's one of the most inequal, 1 to 6 in terms of income distribution. It means that the highest 20% earn 6 times more than the lowest 20%. I mean, this is very high. I mean, Britain has also very high inequality, but Portugal is even higher. I mean, for a small country, in a sense, I think there is a major power. If there would be more distribution, probably the things will be higher taxes, maybe, I don't know. You see here also this income distribution. The lowest Portugal, in a sense, in terms, like Greece, in a sense, this PT is above, there is Latvia there. And you see that Portugal is has a very high level of inequality and a low level of income. So average income. So this is a major problem, more with the Central and Eastern European context. So it's not even, it didn't achieve the convergence to, okay, good. And that's it.